TED Audio Collective. This TED Talk features labor entrepreneur Jess Kutch, recorded live at TED 2019.
Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Talking Transitions, a new podcast series brought to you by the EY organization and Foresight Climate and Energy. Talking Transitions looks at how the shift to a decarbonized economy holds within it several transitions across sectors, geographies, and timelines, and the effects on three key areas: energy, financial services, and government. The Talking Transitions podcast is out now. Download today from wherever you get your podcasts or visit talkingtransitions.com. to find out more.
Hey everyone, it's Adam Grant. I host a podcast called Rethinking, about the science of what makes us tick. This season, we're talking about navigating young adulthood with clinical psychologist Meg Jay.
If I had to pick one word that I hear from 20-somethings more than any other word in terms of where the struggles come from, it's uncertainty. And so I think just the uncertainty involved in how do you make those big life decisions? How do you take control of your life?
Find and follow Rethinking with Adam Grant wherever you're listening.
I am a labor organizer, and in 2013, I co-founded an organization called Coworker.org that uses technology to help people join with coworkers and organize for improvements in the workplace. Now, there are two kinds of reactions to what I do. Actually, no, there are three. The first is complete confusion about what organizing is. When my doctor asked what I do and I told him, he thought I meant organizing like Marie Kondo style. He was like, oh, that's so great. I could use some of that around here. I would love to clean up our patient files. And I had explained to him that, no, it's not that kind of organizing. It's more like if you showed up to work tomorrow and all the nurses in the office had gotten together to ask for an across-the-board raise. Oh, he replied, and he got really quiet. Yeah, and that's the second kind of reaction, the uncomfortable kind. People usually withdraw from the conversation and find someone else to talk to. Well, finally, there's the third reaction, the excited one. The, oh my God, yes, we need this. And someone always proceeds to tell me a story. It's always a story about a job or a coworker or a friend who's enduring something awful at work. What I've noticed is that there is never a neutral response to what I do. You're either repelled by it or you're struck with a lightning bolt of excitement. So why does my work stir up such strong reactions? My hunch is that it's about conflict. If you have power in your workplace, maybe as a CEO or a senior leader of some kind, you're going to feel uncomfortable with that power being challenged. But if you lack power, or you know someone who lacks it and needs it, you might grab me by the shoulders and shake me. You're so pumped. But really, we can all benefit from understanding what conflict can offer in our workplaces. The power imbalance in our workplace is real, and it's constantly changing. Power moves between us depending on our roles and status. Now, sometimes this can feel like office politics, right? Which is never fun. But when we contest for power thoughtfully and together with our coworkers, it can be incredibly productive. And it's that kind of productive conflict that I want to talk to you all about today, the kind that can make some of us uncomfortable. Business leaders should embrace when their workers conflict with policies and decisions, both for what it teaches us and for what it says about our commitment to each other. So what do I mean by productive conflict? Well, let me tell you a story. In 2016, a store employee for an outdoor retailer, I'll call her Alex approached her boss and asked for a raise. Now, she was told her pay was fairly standard for her position and that her boss didn't even have the authority to give such a raise. And that was supposed to be the end of the conversation. Unhappy with that answer, Alex went home and she decided to create a campaign on coworker.org asking the corporate office to give raises to store employees. Within days, employees from around the country began joining Alex's effort and sharing their own stories about what they were earning, $11, $12 an hour, and how that wage was impacting their lives. Some even shared that they had quit recently to work for competitors who paid more. But here's the thing, they also shared that they didn't want to quit. They liked their job, they believed in the company's mission, but for them, the pay issue was a growing problem in their work lives. Well, after weeks of this groundswell of employee activism, the company decided to raise wages by 5 to 15% in cities across the country. And that's what I mean by productive conflict, pushing up against the things that aren't working for us when there exists no other path forward. The other thing I learned in doing this work is that people engage in productive conflict when they care about their jobs and their coworkers. Now, that surprised me at first. I expected the worst jobs, the worst workplaces to have the most employee activism on our site. But the opposite is often true. When we come together, we can accomplish great things. And at one company, there are more than 50 campaigns by employees there on issues ranging from dress code changes to legitimate safety concerns. And get this, that same company has the lowest voluntary turnover rate of any major chain in its sector. And it also has one of the higher productivity rates as well. Business leaders, you shouldn't fear conflict, and you shouldn't try to tamp down on it the minute it bubbles up in your workforce. While it can introduce uncertainties that can be difficult to manage, those uncertainties are trying to tell you something about an underlying problem that needs your attention. And I think this is especially important right now, you know, as technology transforms nearly everyone's job, and as the structures that contain our work are changing at a pace not seen since the Industrial Revolution. We all need to be shaping and participating in the future of work. We all need to be challenging and changing the parts of our work lives that are broken. So I hope, you know, the next time a coworker invites you maybe to join a sign-on letter to your boss, or a group of employees asks for a meeting to discuss their concerns about the new healthcare plan, I hope you'll consider it an opportunity to build a better workplace, a stronger business, and an economy that works for all of us. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.